Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let's return to that tragic news that emerged overnight, the mid-air collision of an American Airlines flight with a military helicopter close to Ronald Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. Rescue workers continue to search now for survivors in freezing conditions on the Potomac River. So far, 19 bodies have been recovered, according to the very latest reports from the scene. I'm joined on the line now by David Blevins from Sky News, who's in Washington, D.C. And David, thank you for being with us. Can you just bring us up to date with the latest from there where you are?
Well, as you say, Claire, rescue teams, some 300 personnel, some on boats, others diving in the water, have worked right through the night in very challenging conditions. Pitch black darkness, freezing cold, and also strong winds blowing up on the Potomac River. But they've been desperately hoping they might find some survivors there. Sadly, their search and rescue operation does now appear to be evolving to a recovery mission. And there are so many questions being asked. There are at least two investigations. And divers, in fact, have already recovered the black box from the American Airlines flight. But everyone from President Trump himself, who has spent many hours in the Situation Room at the White House overnight monitoring developments, to eyewitnesses, to aviation experts, are baffled by this mid-air collision.
Right. Baffled is an interesting term. And we heard earlier on in the programme that a device on the helicopter which tells air traffic control where that craft is was switched off. Are the questions centred around that fact, or what is being asked?
Yeah, well, we have heard from several pilots this morning telling us that both the helicopter and the aeroplane should have had collision warning systems on board. And that's why they cannot understand how the pilot of the helicopter or the pilot of the aeroplane would not have been aware they were so close to one another. There is a recording that has already been released from the tower in which air traffic control can clearly be heard instructing the pilot of the military Black Hawk helicopter to land, then instructing them for a second time to land. They don't take that action, and then the collision occurs, leaving both aircraft upside down in the water. There were three soldiers on board the helicopter, 60 passengers and four crew on that American Airlines flight. And tragically, at this point, it would appear that there are no survivors, and we're already beginning to hear very sad stories about the human cost of this disaster.
And there are families, aren't there, waiting in that airport for news of their loved ones?
Yes, well, this American Airlines flight from Wichita in Kansas was just moments from touching down on the short runway number 33 at Reagan National Airport, but never arrived. So relatives and friends would already have been gathering at the arrivals area, hoping to reconnect with their loved ones who sadly never made it back. Many of the passengers, we understand, were participants in an ice skating championship in Wichita, in Kansas. I'm told there were passengers of all ages, some families on board as well. So many questions, not least about the fact that in this city, the airspace is incredibly busy. That airport itself is particularly busy because it services the US Capitol, all Congress members, their staff, journalists like you and me coming to cover politics in Washington, D.C. would fly in and out of Reagan National on a fairly regular basis. And also much of the airspace is tightly controlled in Washington because of the security sensitivities around the Capitol building and the White House and the Pentagon, not least after the attacks of 9/11. And all of those landmarks are within a mile of where this collision took place. Mm-hmm.
And David, you mentioned there that this is sadly moving into a recovery mission now, due in part to the conditions there. It's extremely cold. The water in the river is freezing practically.
Yes, and it's horribly reminiscent of a tragedy here in 1982 when an Air Florida plane also landed in the Potomac River. In that case, it was departing from the airport, and some of us are old enough to remember the images of motorists stopping on the 14th Street Bridge, desperately wondering how that aircraft in the water to help people. And I think it's kind of similar on this occasion because it happened so instantly. Two aircraft in the water in the freezing conditions, very little anybody could do. The first responders were on the scene, we understand from the fire chief here in this city, within 10 minutes of the alert being raised by the fire. But sadly, it appears they were already too late. Even if someone managed to survive that kind of collision, they were landing in freezing and cold water. So hypothermia would have posed an immediate risk.
David, thank you so much for being with us from Washington, D.C. David Blevins there from Sky News. Kevin Byrne, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Security and Safety Auditor, is on the line too. Kevin, David outlined there how people are just absolutely perplexed as to what happened. I know you have been looking at this right across the morning and watching all of the news lines coming out. Can you explain to us what you think has occurred here?
Indeed. Good morning, Claire. It's sad to be talking about a third fatal accident in about 5 weeks, indeed, because aviation is very safe. I'm always banging on about that. But when you see a video like this and hear the voices and that kind of thing, it doesn't look safe, does it? And I think I know what happened. It's an airport I know quite well because my son used to live in Washington, D.C. and went through it a few times. It's basically the hub for domestic flights in the continent. The major airport, Dulles, is up the road where Aer Lingus fly. It's about 40 kilometres away from what I remember. But this is a very busy place with a very confined area because it's on the west bank of the Potomac, and that is a restricting feature. And yet it's never been, less busy. It's busy since the COVID has gone. And it's also, as has been described, filled with airspace that's both restricted and in some cases prohibited. The White House is just a short distance north of that airport. And if you're flying into the south runway heading south, you've got to actually take a dog leg and miss the actual, the White House and all sorts of bits and pieces. This helicopter was going from Belvoir Army Base, not that far away, and I think it was flying down at 400 feet or thereabouts down the Potomac and in touch with the air traffic control unit, which had given the American Airlines clearance to land. So there's a bit of confusion there as to what the instructions were. I understand it was told, and the call sign was PAT-25, the bit I heard. PAT-25 was told to fly behind the aircraft on final approach, but there's an aircraft taking off again, which might have been confused with the landing aircraft because the landing aircraft had changed runways from 01 to 33. Not a big deal in aviation terms because they had visual control. They saw the runway lights at every stage, but they weren't expecting a helicopter up the river or down the river in this case.
We heard earlier that this device that the helicopter has to communicate or to warn air traffic control where
yes.
it is, that was switched off. Why would that be the case?
I don't know, because I wasn't even sure that Blackhawks, a helicopter with which I'm very familiar, we've had them at the air shows here over the years, they're an extremely common helicopter flown in all parts of the world by different forces. And in the Washington area, it's flown by the Army, the Air Force, the Navy and the Coast Guard and other people. It's a common helicopter. The equipment, if it's fitted, is to prevent a collision. And it works by having transponders which are talking to each other, basically. And it's called a traffic collision avoidance system. The two signals are sent to the pilots and they shout, basically, either climb or descend, but they have to be activated. And I don't know why the one on the Army helicopter would not have been working, because it's a very confined airspace and it's flying, dodging between aircraft and different approaches. And if it's flying at night low level, visually, it would have to know where all the traffic is. And if it's in touch with an air traffic control unit, I just don't understand why it wasn't switched on if it has been so equipped.
And what do we know about the American Airlines plane? It's a small, short commuter flight plane. Right?
Yeah, although it's come a reasonable distance from Wichita in Kansas. That flight, that particular flight, has only been in operation for about a year to make it more, to improve the connectivity to Washington, D.C. It's called a CRJ-700, a Bombardier aircraft made in Canada. It's very reliable, and we have them here in Dublin Airport from time to time. We've seen them in different parts of the world. There's no suggestion that there's anything wrong with the aircraft, but it was established on final approach at about 400 feet. That meant the pilots, and I heard the playback on the cockpit voice on the air traffic system, and they said yes, we'll take a visual approach to land on runway 33, and they weren't advised of any other traffic in the area, so they're concentrating on getting the aircraft down. They're flying it manually, by the way, landing manually, and there's no big deal about it. They've done it before, I'm sure, but they were not told of conflicting traffic in the area, whereas the helicopter was told to go behind the landing traffic, as far as I can tell.
Right, so your ultimate assessment here is that in a very congested area,
yes.
There was absolute confusion, do you believe?
No, I suspect the pilots of the helicopter just misidentified the traffic they were looking at and told to look at, and they did not see the approaching traffic. I don't know why, because although if you look at the video, there's an awful lot of confusion in terms of lights. It's dark, it's cold, there's a small breeze. You know, conditions are not bad, but the background is very hard to see. It's very difficult at night. I know this is an air traffic controller, and having flown at night, it's very difficult to pick out small lights of an aircraft, even those coming into land, from the background. There can be high buildings, obstacles, various other traffic. There's a freeway in both directions close by, so it's very difficult to pick out. And your brain says, I see it now, it will not be turned away from that. If you've misidentified an aircraft, as we all have done as air traffic controllers, you will not be easily swayed that you're not looking at the right aircraft, mm-hmm. but you can easily make a mistake and be a little bit confused, I suppose, in your own thinking.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just thinking about the people who are in that airport waiting for their family and friends to land. You know, David has
Absolutely.
Described that it was minutes away from landing, so you can imagine there were people waiting there to pick them up and take them home.
And there's a couple of strange things about this one. I don't understand how it works quite in the USA, because within 45 minutes of the accident, I received a notification from my son, who now lives in Missouri. But they had released the video of the explosion as it is over the river, and they then released the soundtrack, as it were, from air traffic control. And then they released, to my very great surprise, the actual photos of the radar returns of the two colliding aircraft. That's the kind of thing that might not happen in Europe, but they seem to do it on a public interest basis in America. So, you know, people can make comments, but it's very disturbing for the family members who might be back in Wichita or waiting to meet them, as you say, in Washington, D.C.
Very distressing. Kevin, thanks so much for your analysis there. That's Kevin Byrne, who is an airport security and safety auditor and, of course, a retired Air Corps lieutenant colonel himself. Next, Brian O'Connell on the growing trade in removing safety filters from diesel engines.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.